Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Congratulations on hopefully getting through your work week. Thanks for starting off your weekend with us. That's Kramer at the controls. I'm sitting with BK Sports Machine on the mic, taking you up until 6 o'clock right here on 610 Sports Radio, about a half hour away from Bill Moss's visit. Billy Bob stops by about a half hour from now. And then we'll get you our Sunday slate. And I was going to say our official prediction, but we don't need to do that since the game is not on Sunday. But the game is on Monday, as we do every day at 5 o'clock. Kramer, take it away with the hits.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Go! Steve Spagnuolo talked with the media, and he hopes he has learned from Green Bay issues going against the Chargers.
Same challenge. Now, hopefully we've learned from that. And we've put together a game plan in anticipating that. He's the best in the league, I think, numbers-wise, as far as getting catches as a running back. He was a focus from meeting number one, and hopefully we can follow through with that game plan.
Are we going to see a difference or the same this week?
I think that it's going to look probably about like, if we're talking about the run defense, it's going to look about like it did, unfortunately, against Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry is not exactly Walter Payton, and the Chiefs always make him look that way. What happened the week before, BK, was so head-scratchy, I can't figure it out. Like, they went up against Dalvin Cook, you could argue, is a better runner of the football right now than, Saquon Barkley, Ezekiel Elliott. Like, he could be, along with my guy Christian McCaffrey, the best running back in the league. And the Chiefs completely neutralized him. I was the fool that thought, okay, they figured something out. And then we saw what happened, especially in the fourth quarter against Tennessee. Now they're facing the combination of Austin Eckler. Melvin Gordon is back. Melvin Gordon is playing like the old Melvin Gordon. If you make me set an over-under for rushing yards for the Chargers, $188, and I'm probably going to take the overs.
Oh, then I don't know how the Chiefs win that game. If that's how it goes, I don't know how they win. I think they will have something in store for Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler that neutralizes them to an extent. I'm going to say they slow them down. I'm not going to say they shut them down because I don't think that's realistic. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what Spags comes up with, because I think you could argue that Sunday was probably his worst game plan that we've seen all year. I'm not saying it was the worst game by the defense that we've seen all year, but it was the worst game plan in terms of expectations and what they actually tried to do against the Titans compared to what you would anticipate. He said earlier today he was surprised that they were running as much as they were. You can't have that. He knows exactly what the Chargers are going to try to do in this one. The Chiefs have seen this team over and over again. It's not like they've changed their spots over the years. I expect them to slow Melvin Gordon down, not stop.
He was literally the only person in Kansas City that was surprised that Derrick Henry in Tennessee was going to try to run the football. And unfortunately, he's the only person in Kansas City that makes the decision of how the defense lines up. My problem with Bob Sutton was always his lack of adjustments, quarter to quarter, game to game, season to season. I thought Spags had done a better job of that. I hope that they go back to what they did the previous few weeks, which was blitz the quarterback early and often.
Two.
Real quick, Kramer, if they do that, I think they'll be able to get to Phillip Rivers. And if you can get to Phillip Rivers, we all know he'll throw the ball to you. He threw, three interceptions last time out against the Raiders. I think he's got 10 in his last four games against the Chiefs. Phillip Rivers turned the ball over to you now.
As you guys alluded to in the last hit, that Steve Spagnuolo was surprised that the Titans continued to run. Well, here's Spags.
I still will say this, that drive in the second half, second to last drive, in my mind, was a two-possession game. I fully thought that they were going to throw the football. If you go back and look, I mean, I'm calling it that way. And in hindsight, wasn't the right thing to do. Should have had a little bit more run pressures, like I said, try to stop the run. So they won that mental battle there. We'll go into every game. First of all, trying to stop the run. That'll be the focus, just like this week. It'll be the same thing.
So were you guys shocked that the Titans continued to run? And will the teams continue to run on the Chiefs coming forward?
Of course they will. At least they'll try. I think that the Chiefs need to do what they did against Minnesota, which is focus in on the running game and make Kirk Cousins beat you. And he couldn't. Essentially do the same thing you did last week, just do a better job against the running game, but make Ryan Tannehill beat you. And for 3+ quarters, he couldn't. Now, we all know what happened in the last 2 minutes of that game. I'm not sure, BK, at this point in Phillip Rivers' career, that he's good enough on his right shoulder to go out there and beat the Chiefs. I think their running game is. I think that if he can get the ball to Keenan Allen and his tight end, they can be. But if you just talk about Phillip Rivers, he's a bit of a statue at this point in his career. As I said, he'll turn the ball over. If the Chiefs put pressure on him, I think he turns it over, and that's the key to the Chiefs winning this game.
The drive he's referencing was an 11-play drive. This was early in the fourth quarter. The Titans were down by 9. It was 29-20. On those 11 plays, the Titans ran the ball 9 times. At what point do you think Spags realized, oh, they're still running the football?
After the touchdown? Immediately after the touchdown?
I just don't understand. Now, credit to Spags for admitting as much, because you could tell based on the formations that they were going out there, the personnel that they had out there, that's clearly what he was thinking. Like, in his mind, it was clear he was trying to stop the pass, despite the fact that the Titans were out there trying to run the football. So I give him credit for at least admitting as much, but come on, man. How could you not see that the Titans were going to be running the football in that spot? The Titans only do one thing well, and it's running the football. They had done it well all day. It's what they wanted to do against the Chiefs. It is your Achilles heel. Sell out to stop it, and if Ryan Tannehill happens to beat you, so be it.
So lying's never okay, but my mom told me a long time ago, if you're telling a white lie as to not hurt somebody's feelings, and that's okay, that's what he should have done there. Tell a white lie. You don't have to come out there and admit. Nobody was inside your mind. That's the mind of the machine. Nobody was up in the mind of Spagnuolo. Like, come out there and be like, yeah, I was pretty sure what they were going to do. It just didn't work.
When I heard this earlier today, I was taken aback, and I gasped. I was like, oh my God, why did you say that out loud, Steve Spagnuolo? I can't believe you.
3.
Rascal, you.
So Dayton Moore was on MLB Network, and as he said, he expects Alex Gordon back this next season.
You know, he's an important part. We'll work to get him back. You know, our funds are going to be limited. We understand that. We don't make excuses for what we can't do in our market, but Alex fits us. We're able to sign him to long-term deals 2 times in his career, and I suspect, we'll be able to get him back at least for 1 year.
Are we going to see the same or different Royals next season?
Well, we're going to see a different version of the Royals. I think there's a pretty good chance Alex Gordon comes back in a Royals uniform, because if there's any inclination that he wants to play, he's going to play in a Royals uniform. I can't see that guy going anywhere else. The Royals will make it work. Now, obviously, it's going to be a major restructuring of his contract. He's still a Gold Glove winner. He's still good in the clubhouse. The bat was good for about the first 200 at-bats, and then he kind of went back to the Alex Gordon that we've gotten used to over the past, 1,000 at-bats, BK. So if for the right money they can get Alex Gordon back in a Royals uniform, I'm all for it.
I'm all for it. I think the bigger news here, though, because we had heard that they're going to try to bring back Alex Gordon on a significantly cheaper deal is what I would anticipate. The bigger news to me is that it sounds like they're not going to be players in the free agent market, and I do think this is significant. I'm going to talk about this with Cody Tapp tomorrow on the Leadoff, which you can hear right here from 10 to noon.
Never heard of it.
Sports Radio. It's a very mediocre show that you can hear on Saturday morning.
Oh, yeah, I have heard that one. You host it.
Yeah, it's with a host by the name of Brandon Kylett. Yeah, never heard of the guy.
That's fine.
I find it interesting because I think the Royals had a few different paths that they could take this offseason. One of them was try to get better quicker, and that would include going out and signing some veterans to deals that are 3 years, $25 million, something like that. Not anything that's crazy, not trying to break the bank, but something that makes you better by getting real legitimate major leaguers on your roster. Another potential route they could take was really strip this thing down to the studs and trade Whit Merrifield, go that route. You end up setting yourself back potentially, but then whenever you get better, you are gearing up for that year in 2022-ish. I think they're going to take the middle path. They're not going to go out and spend. They're going to keep the guys that they have right now, and they're going to set themselves up to potentially spend next offseason. It's frustrating if I'm a Royals fan, but they've pretty much told us what the plan is for the offseason.
Four.
The last night, Myles Garrett went off on Mason Rudolph. Here's Joe Buck and Troy Aikman on the call.
Oh, my goodness. Rips the helmet off Rudolph's head and then eventually swings it and hits it in the head. And then Ogunjobi comes up and hits Rudolph from behind.
Beyond words,
oh,
Joe.
Gosh, that's one of the worst things I've ever seen on a professional sports field.
We already know the suspensions, but is this a good look for the NFL?
If you don't know the suspensions because you're just getting off of work, that's cool. Let me fill you in. Myles Garrett has been indefinitely suspended from the NFL. A couple of other guys have been suspended as well. Marcus Pouncey and what's the other guy's name? How the hell do you say that? Akiboji?
Ogunjobi.
That guy's also been suspended for a couple of games. So in a weird way, now I got to be careful with my words here. I can't believe what I saw last night. I cannot believe what I saw last night. A player ripped off another player's helmet, and then he decided to hit that player over the head with said helmet. I mean, as far as I understand, the helmet is there to protect the player's head. The NFL has been very, very clear about that. They've made movies about concussions, and Myles Garrett lost his mind. He absolutely lost his mind. Now, is Mason Rudolph completely void of blame? No. He was kicking him in the junk. He was trying to rip off Myles Garrett's helmet, but there's a difference in the level of crime. One of them was a misdemeanor. The other one was a felony. Now, I'm not talking about an actual real life. Maybe it will be. We'll see if there ends up being actual legal legs with this thing. But as much of a problem as I had with Garrett's actions, and I have a huge problem with it because I don't care. It's never an excuse that it was a heat of the moment. You should be able to think during those type of moments when you're talking about something that extreme, that egregious. So my problem as much with what he did is what he said after the game.
A win's a win. I don't think it's overshadowed by what happens in 8 seconds. You know, play a hell of a game on defense. Offense came out firing, and we held it down from there on. And what we did on the field of play for the rest of that game, for the first 59 minutes, that shouldn't go unnoticed.
Oh, dude. What you did on the field of play means nothing because what you did in the last 8 seconds of that game, everybody's going to be talking about that. You hurt your football team. I'm not sure, BK, that this guy – actually, I do know. Myles Garrett clearly doesn't understand just quite how big of a deal what he did last night actually is.
It was such a big deal that I watched SportsCenter. Do you know how hard it is in 2019 to get me to the point where I'm like, you know what I need to do at 11 o'clock? I need to go over to ESPN and I need to watch SVP. This is no shot against SVP. SVP is very good at his job, but there are just so few events in sports nowadays that I leave thinking, I need to hear more about that. I can't read about that in the morning. I can't hear about it in the morning. I need to know now what people are saying. I wanted to hear what Larry Ogunjobi had to say. I wanted to hear that post-game press conference that you just referenced with Myles Garrett. I wanted to hear Baker Mayfield's thoughts. I wanted to hear Freddie Kitchens' thoughts. I wanted to hear everything. I couldn't consume enough information. This was one of those moments where it's a, where were you when blank? Where were you when Myles Garrett took Rudolph's helmet off of his head and tried to swing it at his head? I know where I was, and I will never forget it because that was one of the most unbelievable things I've ever seen on a football
game. Do you want to hear what the juice thought about it?
Oh, did O.J. Simpson
have thought? Here's what O.J. Simpson thought about last night.
No, all I know is this. The minute Mason went after the man's helmet with his foot in his groin, it's on. I'm hearing all these announcers saying that Garrett should be suspended. Maybe he should. But when a guy's trying to get your helmet off your head, and that's where it started, right, with his foot in your groin, it's on. I'm just saying. Take care.
That got kind of scary. OJ sounded kind of mad. And I don't like OJ Simpson when he's mad. The craziest part, I think, about the entire situation last night as it was going down, and there's a lot of people that are comparing it to other fights in sports, and to me, there's a pretty obvious difference. This was not Ron Artest throwing fists in the stands with Steven Jackson and Dominican Sue stomping on somebody, Khabib Nurmagomedov jumping over the octagon. Those were all, like BK said, gasp type moments where whatever you're doing, you stop and go, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm seeing what I'm seeing. The difference was Myles Garrett had a weapon. He had a helmet in his head, and the helmet is there to protect the player, and that to me is the biggest difference. So I had a problem with how Myles Garrett handled it. I had a problem with the situation as a whole, and I think that Mason Rudolph took not necessarily the high road, but the highest road he could take right after the game.
I don't know what the rules are. I don't know, but I know it's Bush League. I know he's, you know, total coward move on his part. You know, I get. I mean, it's okay though. You know, I'll take it. I'm not going to back down from any bully out there. So we'll see what happens. I don't know.
Just insane. And again, this is not going to be good for my job, for my boss. He's not going to like what I have to say. But I can guarantee you this much: if that was Patrick Mahomes and that was in Kansas City, and Myles Garrett ripped off his helmet and decided to hit our boy, the $200 million man, the franchise, the guy that we've been looking for as a fan base my entire and your entire life, and somebody ripped off that dude's helmet and hit Patrick Mahomes over the head with it, there would be people coming out of the stands. It would be absolute mayhem. Luckily, it didn't happen. We'll get a chance to see Patrick Mahomes coming up on Monday Night Football versus the Chargers. And I think this is the Chargers Super Bowl, and they have to look at it that way. We caught up with Eric Williams of ESPN.com, who covers the Chargers, and I asked him if he thinks this is the Chargers Super Bowl.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd say Super Bowl, but definitely like a playoff game, certainly. You know, Anthony Lynn basically told the players that their playoffs start on Monday against Kansas City, so that's kind of their mindset. They don't feel like they can lose any more games if they want to have a realistic chance of making the playoffs. So that's one of the reasons they're here in Colorado Springs. They want to make sure that they're prepared as best they can for the elements, the altitude. They're practicing right now. You can hear the music in the background. And they'll be here until Saturday. And I believe they fly out Sunday morning from Mexico City. So, yeah, they're definitely putting a lot of onus on winning the game.
How's that going out there in Colorado Springs? Because I just got done reading a couple of quotes from Chargers, one from Keenan Allen, that said he really wasn't too fond of it. How are things going right now?
Things are going again. I mean, they really got lucky with the weather. It's like 60 degrees right now, so no snow. So at least Keenan can't complain about that. I think anytime you have veteran players, they'd rather be at home with their families and going to the facility than having to go away for the week. Phillip Rivers actually brought his family here for a couple days, Monday and Tuesday, and they went to the zoo and kind of hung out. His family had never been to Colorado Springs before. So I guess it just depends your approach and how you handle it. You know, if you talk to most players, yeah, they would rather have stayed in Costa Mesa. But I think ultimately now that they're here, they feel like it's helping them.
Talking with Chargers beat writer for ESPN.com, Eric Williams here on The Drive. You mentioned Phillip Rivers. How much longer are Chiefs fans going to have to deal with this guy? Feels like he's been in the league since the Nixon administration. They've had some very interesting matchups and a very interesting relationship with one another. How much more gas does he have in the tank?
That's a great question. I did talk to Phillip about that this week. I think he's going to wait till the end of the season, kind of step back and take some time to evaluate whether or not he wants to continue playing, you know, consider the family situation and then where he's at physically and mentally. But I think ultimately, if everything winds up, I think he wants to play at least in 2020. I don't know if he wants to play beyond that. You know, he's 38 years old or will be 38 in December. And your physical skills are going to diminish as you get older, but he still feels like mentally he can, you know, do everything he needs to do. And then physically he can still, you know, make all the throws. So I would be surprised if he doesn't play for the Chargers in 2020. I don't know about beyond that.
I'm curious because a couple of weeks ago, we saw the Chargers go out and pummel the Packers, and then last week they lose to the Raiders. Who is this Chargers team? What should Chiefs fans expect on Monday night?
I think they're both. I think they're the team that whooped up on the Packers, and I think they're the team that makes mistakes and loses to a Raiders team that they probably should have beat. I think they're going to come out and play hard and give good effort, but their key is taking care of the football. You know, Phillip has 10 interceptions, two fumbles. A lot of them have been early in game, so it's kind of put his team behind and have them work them behind. If they can manage and take care of the football and stay in it, I think, you know, we should have a interesting and entertaining game going in the fourth quarter. But if Phillip turns it over early, the game could get out of hand.
We're talking with Eric Williams. He's the Chargers beat writer for ESPN.com. He's joining us here on The Drive. The Achilles heel for this Chiefs defense all year has been the run defense, but the Chargers are one of the pass-heaviest teams in the NFL. If the run game is working on Monday night, do you expect that they will be, I guess, arrogant enough to stick with it and not give Phillip Rivers the reins?
In a word, yes. Melvin Gordon ran for over 100 yards last week against the Raiders. I was surprised they didn't run even more in that game, particularly in the second half. Melvin is finally looking like the old Melvin after, you know, 4 weeks of kind of shaking off the rust because of the holdout, which was unfortunate because he probably shouldn't have did that, but that's what he chose to do. So, yeah, if Melvin has it going along with Eckler, I expect him to lean on the run game and just make the game easier for Phillip and not have him out there throwing 40, 45 times. You also have a new offense coordinator in Shane Steichen calling plays for his third game. And so I think any time you run the football, it's going to help a guy like that as well that's new to his job.
Eric, there was about a 20-game period, the end of last season, really all of last season and the beginning of this year, where I felt like teams were finally starting to fear the Kansas City Chiefs. And then the last month and a half, clearly something has changed. Are the Chargers scared of the Chiefs at all on Monday night?
It's Patrick Mahomes, and that's really all that matters. I mean, you still have a guy that won an MVP. I know he's coming off of the injuries and only played a week, but he looked fine to me when I watched the game. Can he still make all the throws? And obviously Tyreek Hill and all the speed, a critical part of their working out here is to make sure that they're able to contain those plays.
How surprised are you going to be if we're talking about this Chargers team in the postseason by the time the playoffs roll around?
Oh, I'd be very surprised if that happened. I mean, basically they have to run the table. They have to win six straight or at least five out of six. Now, they were in this position in 2013. They were 4-6 after 10 games. They ended up winning five of their last six and snuck in. Actually won a playoff game, beat Cincinnati on the road, and then lost to Denver. So it's possible, but, I mean, you have to say it's unlikely just because of the way they played. They've been up and down all year. They're still dealing with some injuries. You know, Derwin James isn't going to be back for this one. You know, they're hoping to get him back after the bye week. So they're missing some key pieces. Russell Okung is dealing with a groin injury. He's not practicing today, so it doesn't look like he's going to be able to play on Monday unless he's able to practice tomorrow. So I think it's a lot for them to overcome. Their margin of error is pretty thin in order for them to get wins week in and week out, and I think it'd just be hard to string together five or six wins.
Even without Derwin James, how good is this Chargers defense right now?
Well, when you have two edge rushers like Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram, it makes it easier on the back end because you know the ball has to come out in 2.5 seconds. So I think you can take some more chances on the back end. They were better against the run D for the most part, except for that last play when Jacobs got loose to score the winning touchdown. So I think they're solid defensively, but they just lack that playmaker in the back end defensively with Derwin being in there. Casey Hayward is one of the better corners in the league, but I think with Derwin, it just kind of gives them some added juice. So, they're solid defensively, but not spectacular.
Eric Williams, beat writer for the Chargers for ESPN.com. Before you get out of here, how do you think this thing plays out on Monday night?
Yeah, you know, everything I just said, I picked the Chargers to win because for whatever reason, they seem to win these games that they're supposed to lose. Case in point, the Packers a couple weeks ago, everybody thought the Packers were going to come in and just roll them, and of course, it was the other way around. And there's a lot of expectations going into this from the team itself. They're very focused. And I think they're very focused, including the quarterback, Phillip Rivers. Usually good things happen. So I'm picking the Chargers in a shootout, 31-28.
Great stuff as always, Eric. Appreciate your time, man. Thank you so much.
Sure, no problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
I think I'm with him. I like the overs. 52 is the number. The Chiefs are 3.5-point favorites in this game. The number's a little bit dicey. I feel pretty good about the overs. BK, you said you got some news about the Royals.
Yeah, this is from Jeffrey Flanagan, a Royals insider for 610 Sports and also for MLB.com. He said, there may be some national reports that the Royals will be limited financially under the new ownership, but sources indicate to Jeffrey Flanagan that the Royals will not be handicapped in terms of potential long-term deals with players such as Jorge Soler, Hunter Dozier, Adalberto Mondesi, etc. If the Royals plan this offseason is, we are going to hand out money internally as opposed to externally, and that's how we're going to handle this offseason, I don't mind that plan. If the plan is, hey, Adalberto Mondesi, we view him as the cornerstone for what we're trying to build here. Brad Keller, we view him as a guy that can be a number two or three starter when we're good. We are going to hand out big extensions to them right now, so we've got that done. It's locked in, and we know what to plan for moving forward. I actually think that's a really smart way to handle this. So if that is the plan, and it sounds like it may be, I'm in favor of that.
I don't know about their finances. I know about mine. They're not good. Looking a little bit better since today's payday. A guy that I think does okay for himself, Bill Moss, coming up next right here on The Drive.
The Drive. weekdays 2 to 6.
So earlier this week, C-Dot and I were doing the show from the Community Blood Center, right? It was a great show. It was a great day. Everybody was coming out and giving blood. There was a good feeling. And I brought up Billy Bob from Showbiz Pizza, and C-Dot looked at me like I had two heads. So I asked the text line. I was like, y'all familiar with Billy Bob from Showbiz? And we got no fewer than 97 text messages that were very familiar with the old animatronic from the pizza place Showbiz. But I don't care about that Billy Bob. There's only one Billy Bob that I care about, and he's presented by 7th Street Casino. He is Bill Moss, and he's back on the drive. What's up, Bill?
Fellas, what's the deal? Where's C-Dot? Bye week?
Nah, C-Dot, well, sort
for
of.
For him, yeah, basically, kind of. Yeah.
C-Dot's down in New Orleans. He is. He wanted to go watch Zion last night. Unfortunately, Zion is injured, so he watched an NBA game, and he'll be back next Monday. So only got to deal with us for today.
You guys are holding down the fort, huh?
Enough.
Attempting to.
Bill. Last night, have you ever seen what like anything like you saw last night in that Steelers-Browns game when Myles Garrett absolutely lost his mind?
Yeah. I mean, I remember you can look up footage all through the history of the NFL. It's happened. I remember Lyle Alzado whipped off a guy's helmet and beat him with it. And I mean, it's unfortunate. It's emotional. The thing is, you know, to me, I sat there and watched it. And you know, Myles Garrett is really – just a microcosm of the whole Cleveland Browns team. They're just all about themselves, each and every one of those players. And you know, he has a history of this. You know, the guy's done. He's done this. Not the helmet part, but he's been fighting in almost every game he's played in this year. He's a really aggressive guy, kind of like Dante Brissett. But what amazed me was you've been to these NFL games, right? The stadium is lined with police officers. What were the Cleveland Police Department thinking about? I mean, he should have been handcuffed right there, and booked. That's a felony assault, is what that is.
And that's
plain and simple.
And I think that's important to hear from Bill Moss. It's one thing when I say it. I played football in eighth grade for Harmony Middle School. Bill played for a long time successfully in the NFL, and he's right. That's why you hardly ever see what happened last night. So we find out, Billy Bob, that he's going to be suspended indefinitely. When do you think we see Myles Garrett back on the football field?
I don't know. You know, and I say that, and there was a time and day when I played where, you know, things like that were just, hey, you know, let the NFL handle it.
Sure.
That was just the era it was. But we live in a litigious era right now, right? Everything's legal. I mean, I'm sure something's going to stem from this one way or the other via charges or civil suit or, I mean, who wouldn't, right? It's free money.
Let's get off that and on to the Chiefs game. Big one on Monday Night Football, Chiefs and Chargers. How difficult is it, or is it just much ado about nothing, playing in that type of elevation? I know you didn't play in Mexico City, but you played many times in Denver. How difficult of a thing is that to do?
You know, it's a home field advantage, without a doubt. Now, neither one of these teams are down there, except I know that the Chargers practice. Where were they? Boulder?
Colorado Springs, yeah.
Colorado Springs, yeah. Getting kind of used, acclimated to that kind of thin air. And it does take you 2 or 3, 4 days to get acclimated to it. So when we come in, we tried everything when we went there. We went on Fridays. We went in Saturdays. We went in Saturday as late as possible that the NFL would allow us to go in to see if it wouldn't bother us. But you felt it. I mean, there's no question about it. It's you know, it's there and you know it, and you're just sucking on the oxygen tank a lot more. What happens is, on long drives, it takes its toll. And so you have to rotate your defense. You know, you have to rotate your defensive linemen, you know, change them up all the time. And for the offensive line, you know, that's they're a unit. They've got to be together out there. So that's where you hope you get your edge.
We're talking to Bill Moss. He's presented by 7th Street Casino here on The Drive. Bill, we talked last week a lot about the run defense and is it fixed? Is this actually going to be something that's sustainable moving forward? And then, obviously, what happened on Sunday took place against the Titans. I think what I was most surprised by, Bill, was not that they had a relapse in terms of their poor run defense against the Titans, but more so the explanation that came out after the fact. It almost sounded like Steve Spagnuolo was surprised that the Titans decided to go with a run-heavy game plan. Were you surprised by it? And how were they surprised by it?
Well, I think, you know, I think the big thing is how they utilize linebackers. Okay, that's the big issue right now with the team. You know, where's Ragland? Why? How come he's not in there? Well, you know, when you line up with three wide, you don't have Ragland in there, and you bring in other guys. And that's the matchup problems that occurred. You know, they invited the smaller linebackers on the field, you know, thinking that those formations would give them, you know, passing situations, and it wasn't. They hammered them. They hammered them hard with a big running back that just took advantage of the situation. So they're still trying to figure out, you know, how to use their linebackers in different packages and how to match up with these different players. And this week's going to be a tough one, too, with Melvin Gordon. You know, how do you match him up? If they go three wide on you with Melvin Gordon, who do you bring in? So it's, you know, I think they're still feeling their way through that, and they don't, you know, it's a deficiency there, and they're trying to make the best they can out of it.
Melvin Gordon's a huge concern of mine. How could he not be? It looks like Melvin Gordon, the Chiefs' run defense, not exactly the steel curtain, but also they've got Phillip Rivers. You played a lot against John Elway back in the day. I think he's public enemy number one in Kansas City when it comes to opposing quarterbacks. I'll go with probably Peyton Manning number two. Billy Bob, do you think it's fair to say that Phillip Rivers might be number three?
You know, that's a good call because he's been there so long, and, you know, he's been a nemesis. You know, he really has. Even when the teams aren't any good, you know, he throws for tons of yards and finds a way to beat you. You know, we've all been a part of that and witnessed that. But, yeah, I mean, that, you can build a good case for it, that's for sure, as long as he's been there.
Do the Chargers or the Raiders, Bill, worry you at all, or is that just something in sports talks we're obligated to talk about?
No, yeah, they do. I mean, because, you know, as we're feeling our way through things, we know what we have. We know the things we can do. But the things we can't do, you know, we don't have a cure for yet. And it's not going to come this season. So we're going to just have to fight our way through those things and try to get better and play better football with those individuals that we have. But the Raiders keep getting better. And they have a run game and a passing attack that is an Achilles heel for our defense right now. The Chargers are a team like that. You never know what they're going to give you offensively. But it's always going to be something explosive. You know, with Gordon in there and Keenan Allen and Hunter Henry, or all those guys are healthy, right? So, you know, they cause problems. They were beat up earlier in the year, and they dropped some games, but they're getting their health back some now.
Bill, you mentioned some of the problems that aren't correctable for the Chiefs, but I do think some of the things that we saw on Sunday are. I mean, the penalties that we saw, those seem to be at least a correctable issue. That's not something with talent. That's just a mental focus situation. The stuff that we saw on special teams with the catching of the fair catch inside of their own 5-yard line can't happen. The extra point and then the two field goals, that can't happen. That seems to be correctable, you would think. Do you think that they will be able to correct those moving forward? Because if they can, given the talent on the team, even with their deficiencies, it still feels like this can be the type of squad that we thought they were going to be coming into the year, right?
Yeah, but, you know, this discipline thing has been going on a long time now, don't you think? I mean, this isn't the first year we've talked about this. We've talked about this almost every year. The penalties and the time management and the boneheaded mistakes. Yeah, I mean, this is every year. Every year it's the same topic. And you know, when does it get fixed? Do they have enough time now in the practice schedule to get everything accomplished that they need to accomplish? Are they leaving out some of those things because there's so much they're putting in on the new defense and a new offense and new plays for this week and new designs? I mean, that's what it comes down to. Do you not have enough time to work on the discipline side of football? Or is it just about tempo, tempo, tempo? Come on, let's go. Run the play, run the play, run the play. I mean, you've got to be able to do all those things. And with a limited practice time now with the new CBA, I wonder if that's part of it.
Why do you think the Chiefs have had so much success versus this team the last 5 years? Why do you think Andy Reid's had so much success versus division and really his entire career?
You know, well, you know, these teams, the teams you're talking about, when you're talking about Denver, and you're talking about Denver hasn't had the quarterback, and they haven't had that offense gel. They've had a pretty good defense, but, you know, they haven't been able to score many points. With the Raiders, it used to be the same thing. You just let them fall apart. You just keep playing football and let them fall apart, and they will. But it seems this year, Gruden's got them going. He's got them believing. I mean, he's got to be up there for Coach of the Year nomination right now, the way he has his team playing and buying into what he's selling, and that's what they're doing. They're buying in. And the offense looks good. They're a well-oiled machine. The defense is playing good football. And they just keep getting better, it seems, every week and finding ways to win. The Chargers have always been explosive offensively. Their defense is tough. I mean, they got guys that can bring it now. You know that. You got, you know, we're talking about Joey Bosa, and you're talking about Perryman and Melvin Ingram. Those guys, they're a good defense. So they've been tough, but for whatever reason, in the last 3 or 4 years, it seems like Phillip Rivers, to me, just does what he wants to do. It's like, okay, yeah, what are you going to do, fire me? What are you going to do, cut me? Oh, yeah, okay, we got another coach this year. And he just does whatever he wants to do. And although he'll have a bunch of numbers, he'll throw 3 picks a game. And we've seen that time and time again.
Bill, I had one last question for you. As we're talking to Bill Moss, he's presented by 7th Street Casino here on The Drive. It sounds like this week the Chiefs are going to get LDT back. It looks like they're going to potentially get Eric Fisher back. Both of them practiced in full earlier today. This would be the first time since week one that the Chiefs have actually had their full offense. The guys that they expected, the 11 starters coming into the season, all starting together once again. How big of a boost do you think it'll be to get those guys back on the offensive line?
Well, when you're playing this defense, I think it was a huge boost. I just hope they're, healthy. You saw the injury last week to Schwartz, and he was limited all week in practice. I just hope they're healthy and they can battle, because that's what it's going to take. And knock some of the rust off. You know, when you're out for a long time too, and you just don't jump back in the pits and everything just comes together. It's going to take a little bit of time to knock some of the rust off. And, you know, this you just hope for the best, but it sure is a positive. We've sat, 10 weeks through the NFL without, a full starting offensive 11 that we wanted the season to open with. So, yeah, this is a big step. And if it does come together, I mean, this is a good time to have it come together, right? The end of November, start make a push.
Bill, before you dip, the most intriguing game on the Sunday slate is Baltimore at Houston. That matches up Lamar Jackson versus Deshaun Watson. Patrick Mahomes is already off the board. Everyone would take him first. Would you rather have Lamar Jackson or Deshaun Watson as your franchise quarterback?
You know, just watching the two of them play, I would have to say Jackson. I didn't know he could do so many things so well. That's part of that's coaching staff too. I mean, they put him in a system and a situation to exploit all the things he can do well. I didn't know he was that accurate. The guy can run the football. He's a big, powerful man. He can extend plays. He's fast, and he's accurate. So, you know, that combination in and of itself with coming out of the shotgun or running the RPOs, I mean, there's a lot of different things you can do with him. And that would be a guy I would want to build a franchise around.
Bill Moss, presented by 7th Street Casino. Hey, Bill, you going to go down to that Italian place down at the City Market this weekend?
Giraldo's?
Yeah.
I love that place, man. You get going down there, get the big sausage on the grill, get you some squid, some olives, some supersada.
Were you serious when you said that you've actually eaten the octopus, that you've tried the squid?
Every time I go down there, I get a jar of that.
What's
stuff.
The matter with that stuff? That stuff looks terrible.
Bill, for our audience that wants to go out tonight for a meal, what's your number one recommendation tonight?
Oh, what do you like? I mean, Le Fou Frog. I like, if you like French, Le Fou Frog down there in the market's unbelievable. So is Cafe Dionys up in Parkside. So is Cafe Provence over in Prairie Village. All three of those French places, unbelievable. Farina, Michael Smith's new place. You got to check that out.
I've heard good things.
You ever been to Grunauer?
Yes. It's a German place, so you got to get your swing on there.
Indeed.
Get your stein going. And, you know, that's a big meat and potato place, right?
Uh-huh. It sure is. Absolutely. Yeah. I'll get
my... else is good, too?
What?
The new Savoy's not bad. Have you been there?
I have.
Savoy Grill?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
excellent.
The old hotel downtown?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good place, too.
You're making me hungry. I'm probably going to go to, what's that fine restaurant I call Sonic after I get off? So I'm looking forward to that. Bill Moss, always presented by 7th Street Casino. We'll catch up next week, Bill. Thanks, man. That is Bill Moss. The time. Ouch. Sorry about that, Kansas City. The time has now come, even though technically, we decided is or is not a Red Friday if the Chiefs play on Monday.
Yeah, it's a Red Friday.
Okay. Happy Red Friday, everybody. although the Chiefs don't play on Sunday, but that doesn't mean we don't have a Sunday slate.
Sunday slate.
All right, let's start out today with our
game of the week.
I think the game of the week is in Mexico City. I don't know if you heard, the Chiefs and the Chargers are playing on Monday night. Now, I'm cheating here a little bit because it's called the Sunday slate, and I'm giving you a Monday game.
I was about to say, this doesn't sound like a Sunday slate.
Have you looked at the Sunday slate?
I did. You left me with the rest of it, and I had to pick my
Dallas and
game
Detroit.
Of the
you got Jacksonville, Indy, Buffalo, Miami. Let me know when you get excited.
I feel like every one of these games that you're saying has a backup quarterback. Denver, the Lions
Minnesota.
Are without their quarterback. The Colts, I suppose, are technically on their backup, given the fact that Andrew Luck didn't start the season.
New Orleans, Tampa, Jets, Redskins, your Falcons backup. Play Carolina. Are you excited backup. Yet? I can keep going. The only awesome game on the schedule this weekend is Houston and Baltimore, and that is an awesome game. But I think that the game that a lot of people are going to have their eyes on nationally and certainly has division and playoff implications comes up on Monday, and that is Kansas City versus the Chargers.
You know what? I'm just going to go for it then. I will take the easy one out. I'm going to take the Texans and the Ravens. Listen, this is very simple. It is Lamar Jackson versus Deshaun Watson, just as it was when it was Lamar versus Mahomes and it was Watson versus Mahomes. These are the three guys in the AFC that moving forward, if you're talking about the guys that you would want to start a franchise foot with, these are them. I don't know who's going to be the Big Ben, who's going to be the Peyton Manning, who's going to be the Tom Brady moving forward, but these are the three. Just as there was a big three previously, it looks like there's going to be another one moving forward.
Yeah, I'm taking the battle for the bye. Of course, Houston versus Baltimore. This actually has a lot more implications than most games.
Why don't you take the battle for the number one pick, maybe the Jets versus the Redskins, although I think that's probably going to go to the Cincinnati Bengals eventually.
Matchup of the week.
The best matchup is BK's game. The quarterback's going at it. It was so great this year to get a chance to see Patrick Mahomes go head-to-head against Lamar Jackson. Loved how that story finished. Saw him go head-to-head against Deshaun Watson. Not a big fan of that particular book. But now these guys go head-to-head against each other. In my opinion, you're talking about the second and third best young quarterbacks in the NFL. I think that Baltimore wins this game, that Lamar Jackson shows out, and that he becomes the front runner for the MVP on Sunday night. Give me Baltimore over Houston, the best storyline of the week.
My matchup of the week is going to be the
Saints.
I'm a matchup.
He said matchup.
We were moving right forward. Nobody noticed it. The Saints taking on the Buccaneers. I want to see what the Saints defense can do without Marshawn Lattimore against, listen, you might not like watching them, but the Buccaneers offense is a hell of a lot of fun to watch. They're not a bad team. If you look at what they've done in recent weeks, they beat the Cardinals. They were within six against the Seahawks on the road. They played the Titans, the team that the Chiefs just lost, and lost by four. And earlier this season, they lost by seven on the road against the Saints. This is going to be a more competitive game than you probably think. It is in Tampa Bay. Right now, the Saints are a 5.5-point road favorite. I want to see what the Bucs defense is able to do against the Saints, one of the best run defenses in the league. I'm interested in watching this one. That's my matchup of the week.
BK, how much did the Pirate charge for his corn?
All right, you're going somewhere with this.
A Buccaneer.
Well, with my matchup of the week, I'm going with the Bears and Rams. This has some implications for the Raiders. If the Raiders win, that Raiders had the Bears lose, that's a better pick for the Raiders.
The Raiders fan.
Storyline of the week.
You know the Pirates' favorite letter of the alphabet, right?
Just give us your storyline.
You would think it's R.
What is your storyline?
But it's actually T, randomly. My storyline's probably the Bears, I guess, taking on the Rams. It's not a great storyline now, but it was at the beginning of the season. People thought that both those teams could actually go to the Super Bowl at this point. Both those teams are trying to keep their head above water. That's your Sunday night game, only because the slate absolutely sucks. Give me Chicago and the Rams.
So I'll give you your storyline of the week. It's the Patriots taking on the Eagles, and afterwards, everybody's going to say the Patriots are fine, even if they might not actually be fine, because the Eagles are decimated by injury going into this one. Their number one receiver on Sunday is going to be Nelson Aguilar. This is going up against one of the best defenses we've seen in recent years in the Patriots. I still got my questions about the Patriots offense. I think that's going to be on display once again on Sunday. But, man, it's not going to show itself against this Eagles team that's been decimated by injury.
Kramer, quick.
Can the Chiefs' run defense step up against the Chargers' running offense?
Thank you for another
Upset
Sunday.
Upset of the week.
Upset of the week, BK just talked about. I think New England gets exposed again. They finally play another real football team in Philly. It's a close game, but New England goes down at the hands of the Eagles. That's my upset of the week.
I got to stay on brand. Let's keep it rolling, Falcons. The Falcons are going to pull off the upset on the road against the Panthers. It's going to be great.
Taking the Cardinals over San Francisco.
A good one. I like
Thanks,
that
Kramer.
One.
Dog. Thanks, BK. Thanks, Jay Binkley. Thanks to our guests, everybody that listened. It's been a fun week. CDOT back in the house coming up on Monday. Sports Machine signing off on The Drive.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.